Let's go to Hebrews 10, please, verse 19, as we continue our journey through this amazing book about our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our great High Priest. So beginning in verse 19 of chapter 10, the Bible says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is, to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." So, draw near with a true heart is the title of our message. Lord, I pray you'd use your word tonight in our lives to teach and grow us. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to come together on a Wednesday night and open your word. And Lord, now may we leave being touched by it through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. So again, we're reminded tonight about the great high priesthood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of what he did, as we read here in verse 19, we have boldness to enter into the holiest. Now, we've seen this a number of times in Hebrews, but the holiest is referring to where God dwells in heaven. And in the Old Testament tabernacle, they had what was called the holy place or the holiest, or the holy of holies. And that was where the ark was and where the high priest would go once a year. But the Lord Jesus Christ gives us boldness to enter into that place in heaven. Notice it says by his blood. Remember, we were told in Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace." So we can do that because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now remember, God created us for fellowship. And that started in the garden, but it was lost with the fall. But it has now been restored through what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. And when we're born again, we have access to God. And we can fellowship with him, and he fellowships with us. If you go to 1 Corinthians 1, we'll see this. But God wants us to fellowship with him. You know, we talk a lot about this word fellowship, talking about spending time with one another. And that's a good thing. It's a scriptural thing. But God wants us to have fellowship with him. And now we can, directly, just like Adam did in the cool of the day. We can talk to God, and God talks to us through his word. Notice 1 Corinthians 1:9, "God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." So we have been called unto the fellowship with the Lord through, again, the blood of Jesus Christ. And as it said there in our passage, verse 20, "by a new and living way." This is a new way. This wasn't available to Old Testament saints, this way into the holiest in heaven. It's new. And of course, the way is Jesus. He came and he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," right? In John 14:6. Now, if you go to Matthew 27, we'll see when this happened. God made it very clear the exact moment that this happened with something visual and then recorded for us in his word. And that was as Jesus was dying on the cross. The Bible says that the veil of the temple in Jerusalem was rent or torn from top to bottom. Notice Matthew 27:51. The Bible says, "And behold," well, verse 50, "Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." So the very moment that Jesus Christ physically died, the very moment, verse 51, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom." So the moment that Christ died was the moment that sin was paid for. And God reached down and miraculously tore this veil that was, you know, 3 or 4 centimeters thick cloth. There was just no way it could be torn that this way. God just ripped it from top to bottom to say that now man could enter into the Holy of Holies. It was no longer blocked by this veil or this heavy curtain. Why? And that's because of what Jesus did. He became the new way the new and the living way into the Holy of Holies, because, verse 21, he is our high priest. It says, having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. So because of his blood, and because he is now our high priest, which we've talked about many times in Hebrews, because of these things, God says, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart. Again, God created us for fellowship. He has restored that fellowship. Now what does he want? He wants us to draw near to who? To him. He wants us to draw near to him with a true heart. James told us in James 4:8 to purify our hearts. Well, only God can do that through his word and the Holy Spirit. And if you go to Psalm 15, the Bible teaches us that God wants us to spend time with him, and he wants that time to be a time of honesty. That's why it says a true heart. Now, we know that we are weak, and we make mistakes. Thankfully, our God has forgiven us of our sins, and that if we confess our sins, those are dealt with as far as affecting that sweet fellowship. But notice Psalm 15, verse 2. He that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. God says, I want you to draw near unto me with a true heart. Now, that doesn't mean a perfect heart, but it means an honest heart. That's how he wants us to draw. You know, David came to God in Psalm 51. He says, create in me a clean heart. Well, our heart can only be clean if we confess our sins. But when God spends time with us, he wants us to enter into his presence with honesty, with a true heart. Draw near with a true heart. And then he goes on to say in verse 22 of our passage, in full assurance of faith. What does that mean? We are born again, but God wants us to live a life of assurance, of confidence, of knowing that we're born again, not because of our feelings, but because of his word. You know, we should know that we're saved because we obeyed the word, that we did confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and we did believe in our heart that God had raised him from the dead, and we did call upon the name of the Lord. We know we're saved because of those things, not because we might have had a feeling or we might have been euphoric or whatever, but because the word of God tells us that if we will follow his plan, obey the gospel by believing on Jesus Christ, that we will be saved. So we know we're saved because the Bible tells us so. And that's how it should be. Go to 1 John 3, where the Bible teaches us that we can know that we are in him and he is in us. And God gives us his own presence in the person of the Holy Spirit to make that assurance real. 1 John 3:24, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So when God saved us, God moved in. And now the Holy Ghost indwells us and helps with that assurance. Now, you all know it's true that the times that we don't feel saved are the times when we're not close to God. The times when we have sin in our life that we're not dealing with. Why is that? Because the fellowship has been hindered. The only way that can be restored, of course, is through confession. And notice it says in verse 22, having our hearts sprinkled with it from an evil conscience. Talking about entering his presence with a true heart, we're also supposed to be entering his presence with a good conscience. God gave us this amazing thing called a conscience. He didn't give it to the animals. He only gave it to humans. This innate knowledge of right and wrong that everybody has been given directly by God. That's part of being human. And the Bible talks a lot about having a good conscience, having a pure conscience. The only way that's possible is, again, we got to clean it through confession. If we confess our sins. So God wants us to draw near to him. He wants us to draw into his presence, to fellowship with him with a true heart and with a good conscience. Notice verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. So now we've gone from the private time with God to our testimony. And those two are interlinked. They can't be separated, can they? If we're not close to God, then our public testimony is not going to be what it should be, because we're not going to act like a Christian. If we are close to God, then the Holy Spirit is leading us, and our profession then will be what it should be. We will act like a Christian. That's what God is saying. Let us hold fast the profession without wavering. So God wants us to, our behavior to line up who we claim to be. He tells us in Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. What's that? A Christian. Go to 1 Corinthians 9:12, and we'll see where the Bible teaches that we can actually hinder the gospel through wrong behavior, through behavior that's not becoming of a Christian. 1 Corinthians, look at verse 9:12. The Bible says, if others be partaker of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we've not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. We can hinder the gospel through our wrong behavior, because the world's going to see us as a hypocrite. Has anybody ever heard anybody accuse Christian of being a hypocrite? All of us have we not? That hinders the gospel, because the profession isn't lined up with what a person claims to be. Philippians 1, so over there quickly, Philippians 1:27. Again, talking about the profession of our faith. So what God is saying is, He wants us to draw near with a true heart. He wants us to draw near with a true conscience. We can enter His presence through the blood of Jesus Christ, and He wants us to. We're told to come boldly unto His throne. If we will do those things and maintain sweet fellowship with God, which is only possible if we confess and deal with our sin, otherwise our heart's not true and our conscience isn't clean. If we'll do those things, then our profession will be what it needs to be. Look at Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That word conversation is talking about your behavior, all of your demeanor, everything about you. He says, let it be as it becometh the gospel. Be a good reflection of the gospel through your behavior. And that is not possible unless your heart's right and your conscience is right. So what a beautiful passage that we have available to us through the high priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the shedding of His blood. We have available to us access to the Holy of Holies in heaven. God wants us to go there. He wants us to fellowship with Him. He asks us to. He asks us to come boldly there. But He wants us to come there with a true heart and a good conscience. If we will do that, then the profession will follow. So draw near with a true heart.